Well, we just finished observing, just a month or so ago, the fall festivals, which picture a part, a very important part of God's plan. We know that God's plan is to bring all of humanity into his family. And the holy days tell the story of that plan. They reveal God's plan as we observe them from the days in the spring until the fall holy days. They tell that plan from start to end. The spring holy days focus on God's plan for those who are called now. And in the fall holy days, we concentrate on the rest of mankind and what God has planned for mankind from all ages. These holy days are days that most of the world is totally unaware of. Most people in this world have no clue about God's days, God's festivals. The majority of them are likewise oblivious to God's plan for mankind. I dare say that more people know about the holy days than know about God's plan. There are some who have heard of these days but don't understand them. They've heard the words, they've heard the names of the days, but they don't know what they mean. They don't understand how they relate to what's ahead. What a privilege it is for God to have opened our minds and revealed this to us, to show us what our purpose is, what the reason is that he created us and put us on this earth, the reason that we are here, and what these holy days picture is that great plan, and it unfolds through these days. This is certainly something that we can and should be very thankful for, that God has revealed this to us, that he's allowed us to understand it, because so few actually do. Mankind has his own feasts, his own days that he celebrates, the meanings of which are, at the very best, just empty festivals, meaningless days. Many of those days are patterned after the practices of heathen cultures of past ages. The customs and the traditions of those times bear much similarity to what is observed today by many people. And sadly, some of these days and these heathen practices are mixed in with a worship of God and of Jesus Christ, where God's name is attached to them. Because I guess somehow they feel that this makes it okay, this makes it acceptable before God. But in reality, this is a practice that God considers to be an abomination. Well, of all the festivals of man, which are patterned after ancient pagan rituals and festivals, there is actually one exception found within the festivals of mankind. Later this month, we will have what we call Thanksgiving Day, which uniquely did not come from a heathen culture, but is a national festival. It is a national holiday that was instituted by the government of this nation. In actuality, this day is observed in other countries as well. Several nations observe Thanksgiving Day, although not necessarily on the same day. For example, Canada has a Thanksgiving Day which they observe in October. On the same day that we have Columbus Day, they have Thanksgiving Day. Different countries observe it on different days. And in each case, its purpose is to show gratitude for a bountiful harvest. That was its purpose. That's how it originated, as a day to show gratitude for a bountiful harvest. Well, how did this holiday originate in this country? In the United States of America, how did it start? In Europe, it was common for there to be a day of thanksgiving and rejoicing to celebrate a good harvest. And when the first settlers came to this country and got involved with the Native Americans who lived here already, they found that those Native Americans also had a celebration at harvest time. And so having come from an area where it was common to celebrate such an event, into a place where the natives of that land celebrated this event, it was just a natural thing that the custom would continue, that it would continue on here, and indeed it did. Throughout the early years of the settlers in this nation, as this nation was in its infancy, the custom continued, although not on a fixed date. It wasn't always on the day that we have it today. In 1777, the year after the Declaration of Independence was signed, Congress proclaimed the third Thursday in December as a day of thanks in that year of 1777. But it was just for that year only. It wasn't a permanent thing. It was a proclamation for a day of thanksgiving that year. 2 years later, President George Washington proclaimed a day of thanks in 1789. It was not yet a national holiday, and no official date was set. In fact, when it was actually observed, it was usually done at a state level. Each state would observe it in its own way and in its own time. The official observances were done that way. And yet it wasn't until 1863 that President Abraham Lincoln decided to set aside the last Thursday in November as a national holiday, that the entire nation would come together and celebrate a day of thanksgiving on that day. It was still not an annual event as far as being permanently proclaimed as a holiday. It was, however, proclaimed or declared every year thereafter by the current president to be on that last day, that last Thursday in the month of November. It wasn't until 1941 that Congress made it permanent with a slight change. The change was that instead of being on the last Thursday, it would now be on the fourth Thursday of the month, which in 5 out of 7 years is the last Thursday. But in the other 2 years, it's not. So Congress made it permanent in 1941, but still throughout all of this, the purpose was unchanged. It was because the government recognized the need to give thanks for our national blessings. I'd like to ask you today, are you a thanks giver? Are you a thanks giver? We're instructed to give thanks. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to give thanks? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will that we give thanks. Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, verse 17. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are instructed to give thanks. But what does giving thanks involve? What does it mean when we say give thanks? I think most of us understand that when we're talking about something like repentance, that repentance means more than just being sorry for something. That repentance means change. It means that there is an effort to make a change and to correct a problem or a sin. When we repent of something, we don't just acknowledge that we sinned, we make an effort to change and not sin again. When we talk about a subject like forgiveness, I think we understand that to forgive is more than just saying, I forgive you. It's more than just words. But to forgive someone also involves forgetting the infraction, putting it behind you, clearing the slate. Likewise, there is more to giving thanks than just casually saying thank you. There are three dictionary definitions for the word thankful. I'd like to go over those with you. The first definition of thankful is conscious of benefit received. Notice that there is no mention of giving any credit to anyone for those benefits. Conscious of benefit received. We are conscious that we have received favor or we have received a blessing. We're just conscious of it. That's defined as being thankful. The second definition, expressive of thanks. And that can be either verbally or otherwise. We can express our thanks by telling someone that we're appreciative and thankful for what they've done. Or it can be done in other ways. So thankful can also mean that. And thankful, the third definition, is well pleased. It is basically the state of being happy or satisfied. Now maybe you were planning some kind of an outdoor activity and you just were hoping that it wouldn't rain on that particular day. And when the day comes and it's a nice sunny day, you might say, well, I was really thankful that it didn't rain. Well, that didn't mean that you actually thanked anyone that it didn't rain. It just means that you were happy or you were satisfied that the weather cooperated with your plans. And so well pleased is one definition of thankful. So my question is it enough to be thankful? Or does giving thanks imply a little bit more than just being thankful? There's a big difference between these two. I think we need to understand what it is that God expects when he says, in all things, give thanks. What is on people's mind as they sit around the Thanksgiving table? And maybe some of you will be getting together with family a couple of weeks from now and having a nice Thanksgiving dinner. What will be on your minds as you sit around the table and talk with one another? Oftentimes, at such a dinner, people will go around the table and everyone seated at the table will tell what they are thankful for. One person might be thankful for their family. Another person might say, well, I'm thankful for my nice house that I live in, or I'm thankful for the car I drive, or I'm thankful for my job. Things that they're happy that they have. Are they really giving thanks? Perhaps someone at the table will, before the meal begins, offer a short prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer of thanks for the food and the blessings that everyone has acknowledged. But outside of that few minutes, at that dinner table, the subject may not come up again. That might be the end of it. And in many homes across this country, I dare say that after that is over, the conversation will turn to food, to football, or to Black Friday, which occurs the following day, which kind of kicks off their Christmas shopping. And pretty much everything that has to do with giving thanks is out the window at that point. Well, probably they are genuinely thankful for their blessings. Genuinely thankful. Thankful in the sense that they're glad they were blessed. Glad that they have what they have. But all too often you see, God is not recognized as the giver of those blessings. That's where we fall short too many times. We say we're thankful for something, but do we really give God the thanks? Do we give God the credit? Many people, when they're talking about their blessings, they'll even give themselves credit for their good fortune. For example, their job or their income. They won't give God the credit for having provided them with an income. I worked up to be in this position. I worked hard to get where I am. And I'm there because of what I did. And that's the way many people think. Yeah, they're thankful they're where they are, but they're not recognizing the giver of these blessings. There's a difference between being thankful and being a thanksgiver. Being a thanksgiver means something must be given. If you are giving thanks, you are giving something. You are giving credit for a favor, credit for a blessing. You are acknowledging that you've been blessed and acknowledging who did the blessing. Who was it that gave you that blessing? That's what being a thanksgiver means. There are several accounts in the book of Luke, and I'd like to turn to a few of them, of those who truly were thanksgivers. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, first of all. We'll start in verse 18. Luke chapter 5, verse 18. Story I'm sure you're familiar with. It says, "Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him." So here this man is being carried in on a bed by his friends to where Jesus was, and they wanted to bring him in and place him before Jesus so that he could be healed. Verse 19, "And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus." So these men couldn't figure out how to get in past the crowd. They decided to climb up on the roof, open up a tile in the roof, and lower him down into the building in front of Jesus on his bed. In the last part of verse 24, this is what Jesus said to the man. He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." He healed him. He commanded that he get up and walk and carry his bed and go home. And so that's exactly what the man did in verse 25. "Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house," and notice what it says next, "glorifying God." He didn't just get up and say, "Oh, thanks," or shake his hand or give him a hug or whatever and go on his way. He gave God the credit for healing him. He went and glorified God. He let everyone know how and by whom he was healed. He gave God the credit. He truly gave thanks. Verse 26, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" The people who were with him, his friends who let him down through the roof, were astonished by what happened. They saw this, and they too gave thanks and glorified God. I imagine that they made it very publicly known what happened that day and how this man was miraculously healed by God. They were truly thankful and gave thanks for this great miracle by glorifying God, giving God the credit and acknowledging his act of healing. Let's go forward a few chapters to Luke chapter 8, and I'll start in verse 27. In Luke 8:27, It says, and when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. In verse 38, after the demons had been cast out of him, it says, Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. This man wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus told him, Return and tell what happened. Tell the story. Glorify God in this event. And that's exactly what he did. He then went to the city and proclaimed what Christ did for him. He too gave thanks by glorifying God. Chapter 13, verse 11. Story of a woman who was healed of a problem that she'd had for a long time. Luke 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She knew where her healing came from, and she gave thanks for her healing by going out and glorifying God. Chapter 17, verse 11. Another very familiar story. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they didn't want to get too close to him because they were lepers. They were contagious. And they stayed away from people, kept their distance. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. Now, they weren't healed right on the spot. He told them to go to the priest. Then it says, And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. After they left his presence, they experienced healing. Verse 15, And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered him, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where'd everybody, where'd your friends go? Weren't they healed too? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. There were 10 lepers who were healed. Only one returned to give thanks. I'm sure the others were thankful, but they didn't come back to give thanks. Jesus noticed that the other 9 didn't come back. But this 10th man expressed his thanks. He gave thanks by glorifying God with a loud voice. One more example from Luke. We'll go to chapter 18, verse 42. This is the account of Bartimaeus, who was a blind man. And Jesus healed him. in Luke 18, verse 42. Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Bartimaeus was healed. And from that point on, he followed Jesus and glorified God. He gave thanks by his glorifying of God. Those who saw it happen also gave praise and thanks to God. We give thanks to God by the way we glorify him, with praise and with honor. We give thanks by the way we live our lives before God, by the way we act in response to the blessings he's given us. We give thanks by our obedience to him, by following him. We've been given so much to be thankful for. I'd like to talk about some of the blessings that we have, some of the things that we should be thankful for. And I'll start with the physical blessings. We'll talk about the spiritual ones later. But we've been given so many countless physical blessings that we should be giving thanks for. Not just being thankful, but literally giving thanks. It starts with our own bodies, the design of our bodies. Do you understand how our bodies operate? Do you understand all the intricacies of the human body and how it is all put together and how it works so flawlessly and tirelessly year after year after year? Let's go to Psalms 139, verse 14. I'm sure you're familiar with this scripture. Psalms 139:14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." When we stop and think about what God has done to design us in such a way that our bodies function as they do, it is just amazing to think about it. We were given all that we need to live a comfortable existence. We're able to live without, unless we get some kind of an illness or something, without pain, without weariness. We follow the health laws that God has given us. We experience a comfortable existence. And that's a blessing from God. He designed the body that way. The body is a masterpiece. It is the pinnacle of God's creation. And isn't it amazing how all of the parts that it takes to make the body work are constructed in just 9 months? From the very beginning to the time that we enter this world, less than a year, 3/4 of a year, and that's all it takes for God to put it all together and make it work. Wow. It is definitely an awesome feat of engineering, these bodies that we have. Think of it. Think of our skeletal system. Think of our bones. How our bodies are designed with this framework inside of us that support us, that allow us to move, that allow us to stand and support ourselves upright, that allow us to function properly. I mean, we could just be like a jellyfish, you know, just a blob. But God has put this framework in us, this feat of structural engineering. It's lightweight, and yet it's very strong. And it supports all of our weight. It supports everything that we do. The bones in the foot. I mean, you could talk for hours just about the bones in the foot that just function in such a way that enable you to walk without being in pain, without being weary. The foot is just designed in such a way that it just, all the bones just move in just the right way. It is indeed a wonderful example of the design and the intelligence of the Creator God. We've been given a circulatory system with all the veins and the arteries that go through the body, pumping blood from one place to another, taking it from our heart, pumping it into our lungs to pick up oxygen, and sending it out through the various arteries to all the different cells of the body which need that oxygen. And the oxygen is fed then to the rest of the body and is collected through the veins that bring it back to the lungs, and it starts all over again. What a masterful system of plumbing we have to pump this blood through our bodies. And yet when we're born, in that 9-month period when we were being formed, every one of those veins and arteries and capillaries and every other passageway for that blood is set in its place perfectly. Every last artery is where it needs to be, is of the size it needs to be. It is just so perfect. Think of our nervous system, our brain, and the series of nerves that goes through our bodies to each and every cell in our bodies. And if you look at the spinal cord, and if you look at all the nerves that go into and out of the spinal cord, and each one, there's thousands of them, and each one goes to a specific place and relates back to the brain to send information back and forth. What an amazing electrical system we have in our bodies. And it was all built in a 9-month period. Every nerve in place, right where it's supposed to be, where it provides what it needs for the body. What about the system that God put into the body to heal itself? Whenever we have an injury, whenever we sustain an illness, there's a system there to take care of that, to heal it, to fix it. We have blood that is designed to clot when we have an injury. If we cut ourselves, the blood clots, and it creates a scab which causes healing. And after a short period of time, the scab comes off and the skin just kind of heals right up and you can't even see where it was. It heals itself. If we come into contact with a virus, the body is designed to fight that virus with different antibodies that are in our system, in our blood. Those invading viruses come in and they're attacked because God designed a way for our bodies to heal themselves. If you catch a cold, what happens? You don't even have to ask God to heal you. He already has. He's already done it because He's put it into your body to take care of it. It's built in. It's automatic. What a marvelous creation this body is. And something that we should give thanks for because it is so wonderful and so perfect. We should also give thanks for our physical and our mental health. Now, I know that sometimes we have illnesses and that we aren't always in perfect health, but for the most part, we're basically a healthy people. At least during most of our lives, we're healthy. We enjoy health. And when we're not, either God has put it into the body to fix itself, or we call on Him and He heals us. God is our healer, and He maintains that physical and mental health in our bodies. Of course, there are laws that we must follow. There are laws that He's given us. But we should be thankful. We should give thanks for the good health, and we should give thanks for the pain, when we have pain. Now, you might say, well, why would I give thanks for pain? I'm not thankful I have pain. Well, you should be. Because if it weren't for pain, you wouldn't know there was a problem. Pain is the alarm that goes off in your body that tells you something's wrong. And you even need to be thankful for that because it alerts you to the fact that something needs to be addressed. Another thing that God has put into us to help us to live in these bodies. God delivers us and protects us, sometimes more often than we know. Psalms 18, verse 6. Psalms 18, verse 6. It says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, and he cried and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." Drop down to verse 48. It says, "He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man." God hears us when we cry out for help. He not only delivers us from violence, but he delivers us from injustice. He can deliver us from fraud, those who would seek to defraud us in some way. He protects us from theft, from those who would be out to steal from us. God is able to protect us from these things. And he hears us when we cry out. And sometimes he even takes care of these things and we don't even know it. Sometimes he protects us and delivers us and we didn't even know anything was happening. I'll give you one example of something that happened to us on the way back from the feast in 1984. We had gone to St. Petersburg. And the feast was over and the last great day ended and we loaded up the car and started driving. And we drove to Jacksonville, Florida, and we stayed in a hotel overnight. We're planning on driving the rest of the way home the next day. So I went into the lobby to check in, and there was a man in front of me who was checking in. And after they checked him in, then I went up and they checked me in and gave me a room. I went out and parked the car and walked into the hotel. And as I was walking in, the man who checked in front of me was walking back out. And he told me what room he was in, and it turned out he was in the room right next to mine. He had his little boy with him, about 6 years old, and they were walking back out to the car to get their luggage and bring it in. So I went on into the hotel just to find, it was like an interior courtyard. It was all exterior entrances that came out onto this courtyard in the middle where the swimming pool was, and the parking lot was around the building on the outside. So we walked into the inner court, which is where our room was. And I walked in there, no luggage in hand, left the family in the car. I said, "Wait here, I'm going to go find out where our room is and come back, because there might be a closer way to park. It might be easier to park somewhere else and carry the luggage in from there." So I walked by myself down to the room, found out where it was, found it, turned around, and came back to the car. As I'm coming back to the car, leaving the interior of the courtyard, going out to the parking lot, I passed the man again with his little boy. This time they're carrying in luggage. I was going back to the car to get my luggage. Went back to the car, gathered up the family, gathered up our luggage, and we start walking in. And as we're walking into the courtyard, here comes the man and his little boy again. Passed him for a third time. This time, the little boy was crying. And the man had this very ghostly look on his face. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "We were just robbed." He said they went to their room, and a man followed them into their room and held them up at gunpoint. It happened that fast. And I thought, you know, that could have been me. You know, I felt bad for him, but I also thought, that could have been me. If he wasn't checking in front of me, I would have been in the place where he was. And you never know what would have happened. Sometimes God protects us more often than we know. So we need to be giving God thanks for the deliverance and the protection. How many times has God protected us on the highway? Saved us from a possible accident? Did I tell you all the story about the bear that we encountered at the feast? Anybody hear this story about the bear? Okay, I can't remember if I told that here last time or not. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Because at the feast this year in Gatlinburg, we were staying in the hotel just right up the street from the convention center. There was the convention center, then there was a Catholic church, and then there was an old abandoned Outback Steakhouse. The restaurant had moved to another location. The building was vacant. After the steakhouse was our hotel. And my son, who was staying with us, said that he wanted to go out. It was late at night. He's got two young children and had just put them to bed and said that he was really in the mood for a steak dinner. He hadn't had a really good steak dinner yet this feast, and he wanted a steak dinner. So he said he was going to walk down to TGI Fridays, which was just a few blocks down the street, and get a steak dinner to go. I said, I'll walk down there with you. So I walked down with him. He got his dinner. We're walking back, and as we got back to the convention center, we're passing by the convention center, and we ran into Tom Disher and his wife, Heather. You may know Tom Disher. He's the one who takes care of the website out at the home office. And we stopped and talked to them for about 5 minutes. And after we finished talking, we continued on up the street, passing the Catholic church and then the steakhouse and then our hotel. Well, as we were passing the church, there were some people on the other side of the street that were calling to us and motioning for us to get across to that side. And we're like, what's going on? And they said, there's a bear over there by the steakhouse. And so we cross the street and we see that there's a bear on the porch of the Outback Steakhouse. This is in the middle of town, mind you. We would have never expected to run into a bear that close in town. And so we kept our distance, and my son said, oh, there he goes over the fence, and he went out to the back of the property and was long gone. So we then continued on. So we crossed back over, and we went up to our hotel, which was the next building. And as we're coming up the driveway into our hotel, there was some people coming out. And they said, did you see the bear? And we said, yeah, he was on the porch of the Outback Steakhouse. They said, he was on this parking lot 5 minutes ago. And I thought, well, Tom Disher just saved my life. Because he stopped us and detained us for 5 minutes and talked to us. And here we are with a steak dinner in the back. Now, it's bad enough to run into a bear. If you got a steak in your hand, it's real bad. So maybe God arranged for Tom Disher to be there at the time. I don't know. What, but the next day I saw Tom in services and I said, Tom, you saved our lives last night. And he said, how did I do that? And then I told him the story. He said, well, right place, right time. So we never know when we're being protected. We never know if because we were detained and didn't get to go on our trip when we wanted to, that we weren't involved in that accident that happened in front of us. You know, maybe there was an accident on the road that we would have been involved in if, for some reason, we hadn't been stopped somewhere along the way, detained by something. You just never know. Something we need to give thanks to God for, because He does protect us like that. We should give thanks to God for our material possessions and our physical property. Now, you might not consider yourself to be a very wealthy person with a high lifestyle. I'm here to tell you that you are still very prosperous. And how wealthy you are or how wealthy you are not depends on whom you are comparing yourself to. Now, if you're comparing yourself to the guy who lives in that real nice house up on the hill, that mansion that looks so nice every time you pass by it, well, maybe you're not. If you compare yourself to the average person in this world, I dare say everyone in this room is filthy rich. It just depends on who you're comparing yourself to. We need to remember that it is God who supplies every need. He supplies the material possessions and the physical goods as we have the need. Philippians 4, verse 7, or 4, verse 6 and 7. We'll read both. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Don't neglect the giving of thanks. There's no need to be worried. There's no need to be anxious. There's no need to be concerned that you're poor, that you're not doing very well. God supplies every need. He knows what you need, and He makes sure that you have it. Let's give thanks for what He's given us. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. It says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Don't spend your life pursuing riches. God provides what you need. He knows your needs, and He takes care of you. Give thanks for what you have. Forget the rest. Forget the rest. God takes care of it. Don't ever dwell on what you don't have, because that's the opposite of giving thanks. Dwelling on what you don't have. "Oh, I sure wish I had so-and-so. I sure wish I could live in this big house. I sure wish I could whatever." Don't think that way. Don't think about what you don't have. Don't dwell on it. Be thankful for what you do have. Consider what God has given you. How blessed you are. You know, God is our provider. We should give thanks to God for our income. The income that we make. The job that we have. No matter how hard you work at that job, remember, God is the one who made it possible. God is the one who put you in that position. Give thanks to Him for it. Don't ever complain about your job. Don't complain about your salary. And a lot of people complain, "Oh, I just don't make enough, and so-and-so makes more than I do," and this kind of thing. Don't complain. Thank God for it. Give Him thanks for the income and the job that you have. Because it could all be gone in an instant. Especially in an economy like we have now, nobody's job is safe. Nobody's income is secure. Even if your income is what they call social security, not real secure, I got to tell you. Nobody's income is secure. Give God thanks for what you have, because it could vanish in an instant. Give thanks to God that you live in this country, in the United States of America. Despite all of its problems, it's still one of the better places to live on this planet. It's not a perfect place. It's a far cry from the kingdom of God. But it's better than many places on this earth. And we should be thankful that we live here. Compared to most of the planet, you live a life of luxury. You are wealthy. There is a much higher standard of living here than in many places around this earth. Give thanks to God for that. Give thanks to Him that you live in a place with relative peace and safety. And I know we have our crime here. We have places where you don't want to go at night because it's dangerous. And I know that there are certain places that you don't feel safe at all when you're there. Even if you're driving through with your doors locked, sometimes you don't feel safe in some areas. But compared to some places in the world, we live in a very safe nation. This past week, we heard the news story of a baseball player who was kidnapped in his home country of Venezuela. He went home for the winter. He's going to play winter ball down there. He was kidnapped. I think I heard this morning on the news that they found him and he's fine, but still, he had to go through that. And in Venezuela, from what I understand, there's a lot of that goes on. A lot of the sports figures or their families. Apparently, there are several athletes in this country who have family in Venezuela, and they've been kidnapped. Because, you see, they know that these people have money. These people have a lot of money. American athletes make a lot of money. And so they and their families are targets. And apparently in that country, it's widespread. Be thankful to God that we live in a place where we have many freedoms, including the freedom to worship God as we see fit. Freedom of religion. What a blessing that is. Because in some countries, we couldn't meet on the Sabbath like this. And we'd have all kind of problems and hoops we'd have to jump through just to assemble. Be thankful to God that we have this situation in this country where we're free to worship God. Give Him thanks for that. None of us were asked where we would like to be born. God didn't contact you before you were born and say, well, where would you like to be? Where would you like to go? He didn't do that. You were born and where you were is where you were. And that was it. Give thanks to God that you are where you are. Probably our most prized physical possession is our family. Your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, and if your parents are still alive, your parents as well. Psalms 127, verse 3. Psalms 127, verse 3. It says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. In Psalms 128, verse 3, it says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. What a blessing it is to have children, to have grandchildren. They are indeed a blessing that God has given us. And we should give thanks for them. They are our most prized physical possession. Don't ever neglect them. Be sure to spend quality time with them. Let them know you appreciate them, that you don't take them for granted. This is how we give thanks for our most prized possession, by showing how much we appreciate them. That's how we give thanks. That's how we show God that we're thankful for our families. We show that we appreciate them. Well, God has also given us tremendous spiritual blessings. God has given us His grace, His mercy. He has given us the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to cleanse us of our sins. It is indeed a spiritual blessing, having had the penalty of sin paid in full for us. Even though we are totally undeserving of it, what a blessing that is. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Drop down to verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." In verse 11, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." The spiritual blessings that we've been given were not our doing. We did nothing to deserve them. God's great love for us makes all this possible. It is not that we deserved it. God did not bless us because we deserved it. In fact, He gave them to us in spite of us, in spite of the way we live our lives, in spite of the sinful lives that we have lived. He has given us this favor, these blessings. He has given us his Son to take on that penalty. It wasn't anything we did. We didn't deserve it. Ephesians 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Even more blessings await us in ages to come. There are more blessings to be given to us in God's kingdom. We've been blessed with the knowledge of God's law. We've been blessed with the understanding of the law, which leads to all the spiritual and physical blessings. By our knowledge of God's law, we obey God's law, God blesses us even more. The knowledge of the Sabbath and the holy days and how to observe them, what a blessing that is. When we come to understand it, it's an added blessing, because we have that peace that comes from knowing these things. We have that peace that comes from understanding the plan of God through those holy days. What a blessing it is that God has revealed that to us. Psalms 32, verse 8. One of the spiritual blessings we give thanks for is God's inspiration and guidance. Psalms 32, verse 8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Remember that God's eye sees from a much higher vantage point than ours. God sees things that we can't see. He can't miss anything from his vantage point. God sees from a higher plane. He is able to guide and instruct us in all of our decision making. He's able to show us which way to go. when we're faced with a decision. Inspiration and guidance, one of God's many blessings that we should be giving thanks for. And finally, give thanks for being in God's church. Being partakers of the gospel and having had the truth revealed to you. A tremendous spiritual blessing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded." They're in darkness. They're blinded to this truth. "Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God who has allowed that light to shine in us. He has allowed that light to shine and show us the way that He wants us to live, revealing His purpose for us, revealing His truth to us, and then calling us into His church and bringing us here and allowing us to be a part of this fellowship. We are not in darkness. He gives us the light, which is comforting. The hope of salvation is comforting. It's comforting knowing that this life is not all there is. Comforting to know about the resurrection, about the plan of God for all mankind, and the hope of seeing our lost loved ones again. How many of us have been to funerals where we've said goodbye to a loved one and heard it preached that this person will live again? How encouraging is that when we hear that? How wonderful it is to have that knowledge. God has shown us that light. He has allowed it to come into our beings, into our minds, to understand that the future of humanity is not destruction, which if you look around you today, that certainly is what it looks like, that this world is going to come to a very explosive end, and then we're going to annihilate ourselves. We know that's not going to happen. We know that the kingdom of God is going to come, and the knowledge of that is certainly refreshing, and it's comforting. And it is good to know that light has been shown upon us. It is a blessing to be able to fellowship with those of like mind. It is refreshing. Isn't it refreshing to come here every Sabbath and meet with one another who believe as you believe and who have that same light shining in them? These are all spiritual blessings that we should be giving thanks to God for on a daily basis. Not just once a year, but every day. Every day of our lives, we should be expressing our love for God and for His plan and for having the understanding of His truth, to just give Him the glory and the thanks for it. In what ways do we express a genuine giving of thanks? Primarily by showing genuine appreciation for our blessings. Glorifying God, as the people I read about in Luke, who were healed and went out and glorified God. Giving God the credit. We glorify God when we recognize His hand in our lives. Realizing that we couldn't do it ourselves. That we couldn't survive without Him. There is nothing that we can do to survive in this world. There is nothing we can do to bring ourselves to the understanding that we've been given. There's nothing we can do of ourselves. We need to maintain a humble attitude and avoid high-mindedness. Do you appreciate your calling? If you appreciate God having called you out of this world and into His truth, live according to that calling. That's how you give thanks to God for it. You show Him that you appreciate having been given this knowledge. Uphold the type of life God has called you to. We're thankful that we know God's laws. Now let's give thanks by living by those laws. We follow Jesus Christ by living according to his example. By doing so, we show appreciation for what he's done for us. We show that we appreciate his sacrifice for us. We appreciate that he took on that penalty so that we wouldn't have to, by striving to live as close to what God wants as we possibly can, by repenting on a daily basis and changing whatever we find that we need to change. That's how we give thanks. We give thanks for what we have, the physical blessings, by taking care of them, by taking care of these blessings. The proper use of what God has blessed you with is necessary. We need to properly use and maintain what God has given us. We need to set priorities regarding our income. God has given us an income. He's given us a means of support. We need to make sure we don't squander it. That's how we give thanks for it, by not wasting it, by being careful with it, by being prudent, and by not being wasteful. And that, of course, includes being faithful in tithing. We express to God our thanks. We give him thanks by being faithful with our tithes. God commands tithing, and we want to make sure that we are doing our part to fulfill that command, to follow it, to obey it. We give thanks to God for our good health and for our incredibly designed bodies by taking care of them, taking care of ourselves, maintaining our good health, not allowing ourselves to go downhill, but maintaining our health. If that means get on a program of diet and exercise, if that's what you have to do, you do it because you're appreciative of the body and of the life that God gave you and of the health that you enjoy. We want to take care of ourselves and maintain that good health. That doesn't mean we all have to go out and become health fanatics. I don't mean to go overboard in the other direction. But use good judgment. It shows that we appreciate the blessings of physical health. Numbers chapter 35, verse 33. We also give thanks to God for his creation by protecting the environment, protecting the world around us. This is the only planet we have. It's the only one he's given us, and it needs to be protected. Numbers 35, verse 33, and I realize that this is a spiritual application, but I believe it applies in a physical sense as well. Numbers 35, verse 33. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Therefore, do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell. For I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. The reference here is to the cities of refuge and defiling the land with blood. And as I said, it's a spiritual application, but I think the principle is the same. This is a spiritual defilement, but it should apply to a physical defilement as well. God is to dwell among us. And if he is to dwell among us, do we want him to dwell in a land that is defiled, in a land that is polluted, on a planet that is in such disarray as we find ourselves in many cases? This is the only planet we have. Let's take care of it. And again, I don't mean to go off in the other direction and we all become ecology freaks. I'm just saying use good judgment. Let's not be wasteful, let's not be careless, and let's preserve the resources that we have because God gave them to us. And by preserving them and taking care of them, we are giving thanks for what he has provided. Well, we can set aside one special day to reflect on all of our blessings, a day to really give thanks for them, however takes a lot more than one day. We can be thankful at a meal. We can be thankful at a special family gathering. We can set aside a day to be thankful. But to give thanks in the way that we should is a lifetime process. It is continual. It is a daily process. We do it every day of our lives. Being a thanksgiver is a way of life, not a special holiday. We all need to be thanksgivers. A thanksgiver does more than just mention his thankfulness, does more than just say thank you. You know, we say thank you so many times in our lives. We go into the restaurant and we order a meal, and they take our order and we say thank you. Somebody holds the door open for us, we say thank you. You know, that's thankfulness, that's appreciation, but giving thanks for what God has done for us is something totally different. A thanksgiver does more than just express gratitude in a short prayer. A thanksgiver lives a life that demonstrates his thankfulness. President Lincoln made another proclamation to the American people in addition to his Thanksgiving proclamation. In fact, this one was done several months before his Thanksgiving proclamation. This one was made in the spring when President Lincoln set aside a day of fasting and prayer to be established on April 30th, 1863. I'm going to read you a quote, an excerpt from that proclamation by Abraham Lincoln as he spoke it on March 30th, 1863, proclaiming a day of fasting and prayer 1 month later on April 30th. President Lincoln said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." This statement was made by the President of the United States. You know, they don't make presidents like this anymore. You don't hear things like that coming out of the White House anymore. I guess it's just not politically correct to do it today. That's where we've come. That is our unthankful society. But I think Abraham Lincoln nailed it when he said this. We indeed have become to rely on our own selves way too much and give ourselves the credit for some of the things that we have enjoyed. And it is the pride that is killing us. Pride will destroy a person. Pride will destroy a people. It will destroy a nation. You cannot be a thanksgiver if you are full of pride. We cannot take for granted the blessings we freely enjoy. They have been given to us by a Father who loves us and cares for us. We have received totally undeserved favor, not because of anything we've done, but in spite of us. God has given us these things because He loves us. We have so much to give thanks for. We have so much that we owe to God. We owe everything to Him. Take time to recognize all that He's done for you, because without His blessings, we would have nothing. Make God happy to bless us by showing appreciation for what He's already done. Let's make Him happy for it, happy to bless us. Not just by occasionally thanking Him in a short prayer, but by everything you say and think and do, by the way you live your life. Give thanks, and truly give thanks to Him by living a life that pleases Him. Don't just stop at being thankful. Be a thanksgiver.